Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You're right, John.
Yes, I'm good. Thank you.
What's the general feel, you know, from a resource point of view, a macro level? What's your feel? What's your thoughts there?
Well, this has been an unexpectedly good week in the metals markets. Well, particularly for the base metals and industrial minerals, they're all picking up. I don't think anybody particularly expected that. Copper prices had a bit of a run on Monday. I say a bit of a run. I think there must have, anybody with a short position must have taken some real pain. Prices jumped higher. I think the markets are enthusiastic on the back of Joe Biden replacing Donald Trump. Gold price pulled back $100 on that news, but actually didn't crash through some technical support levels, which is quite good. So you know, people still want to hold gold. They still see a lot of risk in the global environment, and they still see downside for the US dollar. In fact, if anything, Biden is probably good for US dollar weakness in the longer term. So we saw Citigroup come out and say they thought the dollar was going to depreciate by maybe 20% this year, which is a pretty big call, even by a group like Citigroup.
And for people not understanding that, the significance of a weaker dollar is what? What's the knock-on effect for that?
Well, for metals prices, which are denominated in US dollars and priced in US dollars, you know, around the world, that means that the price goes up because as the US dollar weakens, the people who buy it in different currencies are happy to pay more in dollar terms. So we effectively see all the metals prices go up. Even gold would have taken some benefit from the US dollar weakness that we've seen recently. It's been a bit up and down, but the general view by a lot of, shall we say, experts and funds is that the dollar will weaken now, maybe for a year, probably 2 years, that it's had all the strength that it's benefited from because of the chaos from the pandemic. And now, as the Americans restore their economic growth through spending of stimulus funds, and of course maintain low interest rates probably for longer, that means there's less reason to hold the dollar and much more reason to move investment money from the US into other jurisdictions.
Yes, it's a bullish move, then, you're saying, for if it weakens that much.
Well, it's great. You know, if you're a UK investor and you want to hold something that is going to benefit from this, you buy a mining company or maybe an oil and gas company, because you're buying into what should be higher. Although the dollar will weaken, well, actually, that's good from a cost perspective usually. But your metals prices are going to go up, and you'll benefit in sterling terms. So,
And is this why, for example, like copper, well, I'm looking back and look at the chart year, 15th of June 2018, that's where we are at the moment. That's the last time it hit this level, and that was a double top pretty much, so it didn't look as going higher. But now it looks like a strong uptrend in copper. Is that why you think copper, is there, other than that, is there a fundamental reason, apart from the, we know the long macro picture for copper is rising? And of course, this week, Boris Johnson, one of the, you know, only one of the governments around the world, has brought forward that date when you can no longer buy petrol and diesel cars, which of course is good for copper. More copper is used in electric vehicles. So is that as well, or is it just the dollar, you think, weakening that's pushing copper price up?
You know, you're right. You've hit the nail on the head. There are very good fundamental reasons why copper prices will continue to go up and why they have gone up, and it's because China is installing an awful lot of electric vehicle chargers right now, as are many other nations in the world. I mean, we are as usual playing catch up, and utilities and other companies are going to have to spend an awful lot of money buying copper cabling to connect these electric vehicle chargers. And now we're seeing fast chargers being rolled out in California by Tesla, and people saying that they haven't even got enough time to do the things they used to do when they were charging their Tesla cars. Mm. Haven't got time to walk the dog or go and get a coffee and a bucket of KFC or whatever it is that they do.
Walk the dog and get a bucket of KFC, yeah. If I was people, I'd leave that KFC out. Just walk the dog, it's healthier. But I was saying today about this, that's a worry about this country's infrastructure. So we're not ready for, you know, charging cars. I mean, you take a sort of busy street in London, for example, a residential street, where, you know, there's hardly any room to park on the road, you know, literally. So how are you going to charge your cars overnight? You can't have loads of vehicles charging overnight. And, of course, to charge them up on the move, like you said, even speed charges take, well, half an hour, 40 minutes, maybe an hour to get charged. So at the moment, people are worried about that, aren't they? There's a charging worry. And so, I have great faith in human ingenuity and innovation. Like we've seen with COVID, the vaccines, how fast we've got them out. You know, I think when money's poured into it, it'll work. You know, it'll happen. We'll be able to charge cars very quickly. There'll be points everywhere. I think it'll work. You know, if it has to work, it'll work. Do you think?
It'll work, but there are going to be some problems along the way. I mean,
yeah, of course,
people are going to be fighting over access to chargers. They're going to get upset if somebody leaves their charger, their car on a charger for too long. Then, of course, you're going to get some vandalism of probably people cutting cables in the street and stuff like that. So there are going to be some significant issues to overcome. So far, I haven't seen any of that in London. But then there's not enough cable capacity for the power to charge a car for everybody. So in an ideal world, everyone with a house or a flat in London would be able to park on a charger. But of course, but there simply isn't the capacity within the grid network to supply electricity to all those vehicles. So there's going to have to be some sort of power rationing for the electric vehicles in order to, and let's face it, most people in London a lot of people will leave their car in the street not doing anything for most of the time. But of course, the people who do use their vehicles more often are going to have a real issue with this. And not so many people have a driveway to put a car into these days. Mm. Those things are going to certainly be selling for a premium going forwards. And there are going to be these issues to resolve.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was just thinking about it, really. When you think of it, you know, the big companies, this is ideal for them to pivot. I mean, I'm talking about the oil majors like BP and Shell, who have these forecourts, you know, with petrol now on them. I mean, I think, if anything, they need to pivot into clean energy, which they are. And I think they'll plough money into fast chargers, because if the infrastructure's there, if people pull in and, you know, fill their car up now, that's in the mindset, isn't it? And I think it'll come down to, if they can get it down to, the thing is, at the moment, like, so I don't know what it's like, but someone said about 40 minutes fast charge is doable, but that's nowhere near good enough, is it? You fill your car up within, what, 2-3 minutes? And that's what's needed, isn't it? Really, 2-3 minutes of, you know, a boost charge, and off you go. The technology is going to have to catch up, you know?
Well, you don't necessarily need to fill your battery completely full. Mm. It's just a question of getting enough energy in there for you know, your journey plus a comfortable spare charge in there, so that you don't suffer too much range anxiety. But of course, everybody's going to want to keep their batteries topped up to as much as they can. But yeah, we are going to have to figure out a way of ensuring that everybody gets access to these chargers. And at the end of the day, the only solution is buying more copper and fitting more chargers to give everybody access. And the government today came out and said they were looking at a road charge levy, so you'll pay per mile on the road, because they realize they're not going to be able to charge electricity or charge tax on the electricity in the way they do on fuel. So fuel duty brings in something like £40 billion a year. It's an extraordinary number. And the government's going to lose all that if people are having to drive electric vehicles. And I think they're going to start, they can see that this money is going to be eroded away. So they're going to start charging us per mile. And I'm fine with that, because I think it is fair that the people who use the roads more should pay for it more. And okay, you do kind of do that with buying fuel, but that has to change now.
Yeah. And there'll have to be some kind of incentive as well. Like, for example, you know, if you drive to work, there'll have to be workplace chargers, you know, and there's some kind of incentive to use that in some way. Okay, so that's why, okay, lots of reasons why copper is going to be, we've said it for a long time. In fact, I couldn't believe when it was dipping down in, you know, a while back, the trend was down for a long time. From that June 2018, the trend has been down for a while. It's popped up a few times, but you know, everyone knows sort of the copper outlook is very bullish, and yet in March it, with everything else, sold off, you know, went down to an all-time low, or historic low, quite a few year low, and now it's starting to rally strongly. Well, at least now it's reflecting the story we know should be happening. Cool. And so you said gold is hitting a bit of a dip. There's a story you mentioned before we came on about lithium and Mexico. What's the deal there, John?
Yeah, the Mexican government's decided it wants to nationalize the lithium industry in Mexico. Now, it's interesting because Ganfeng Lithium exercised its option to increase its stake in Bacanora Lithium on Friday. And suddenly we see this news, which I'm not sure exactly when it was tabled, but the Mexican government has tabled a draft bill on this proposal to nationalize the lithium industry. I can only think, because I'm sure Ganfeng must have some idea what's going on in Mexico with the government, I can only think that there'll be a carve-out for Bacanora, because it makes no sense for the government to nationalize the Sonora lithium project and cause problems for Bacanora, because the government would make nothing off that. So I think what's going on in Mexico is that they'll nationalize the salt flats that they have, where there's lithium, high-grade lithium brines, so that other people don't come in and shall we say, take advantage of those Mexican assets. And I think they're saying, well, we're going to control and produce the lithium in Mexico, and we're going to use that for our own automotive industry, because Mexico is a huge producer of cars. It produces a lot of cars for General Motors and Ford, which are then exported into the US. So it's a big industry for them, and they don't want to be left out. And I think that's fair enough. But it wouldn't be fair if they nationalised the Sonora project, and I've got the feeling they won't.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Marvelous stuff. All right. And so, company news. A bit of news that day from Altus Strategies. I know you mentioned them before. What's happening there?
They're pretty exciting with Altus. They've revised one of the key components of the preliminary economic assessment. So that's the economic view of the project. And metallurgical recoveries, this is the amount of metal you can get out of the, or amount of gold you can get out of the ore, have gone to 95% from 80%. That's a really significant upgrade. And what this does is it increases the net present value of the project to $152 million at a $1,500 an ounce gold price. So that's a pretty modest gold price to use right now. And that's gone up from 115. So a good increase in the value of the project, and very nicely done, I have to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. And And also, do you know what's been followed quite a bit on Vox of late? Is Rambler Mines and Metals, RM. You've done a bit of a fundraiser there. And first of all, what are they about? I don't know much about them. What's happening with them?
Well, Rambler is another one of our clients. We're Nomad and Broker to it. And we've just managed an $8 million equity financing for them. It's part of a $13 million fundraising. So it's a complete financial restructuring of the business. Other investors, you know, debt holders, other investors have had to take significant haircuts. New investors have come in, new institutional investors. And the business, which had got into trouble because of very low copper prices earlier this year, is now benefiting from much higher copper prices. But one of the key things here is a guy called Toby Bradbury, who was responsible for the turnaround at Shanta Gold, and is very, very well respected within the industry. And he's a man who knows how to take an underground mine and turn it into something more profitable. So he's gone in there. He's got a plan to raise production, to improve the way it operates, optimize all the processes, and the investors are backing him to make that work. So we see a lot of value coming through in Rambler going forwards, and we're very happy to put the effort in to make this work.
Marvelous stuff. Cool. Anything else happening, John?
Well, we're seeing diamond prices improve at the moment, which is nice. Petra Diamonds, which has been in trouble because it's got quite a lot of debt, came out and said that. And I see this anyway generally through the diamond price indices, which we receive through a group called Rappaport. So that's pretty exciting. And other industrial metals looking good too. So the whole environment looks like we've got a rerun of what happened after the stimulus programs in 2008, when we came out of the global financial crisis. And it looks like the sector's going to have a great time for certainly the next year or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel at the moment, I think the market is going to have a bit of a sell-off before we have a rally towards the end of the year and into the new year. Because if you look at the figures, you can't ignore the figures. Infection rates in America, and of course America, like I says, when they sneeze, we catch a cold. And they're starting to see restrictions now ramp up in certain states, in America. And it's getting worse and worse. And I think, the markets will... Once the presidential elections, I mean, the attention has been on that, hasn't it? Completely, almost. With a bit of COVID being a sideshow. But I think COVID will take centre stage. Of course, we have the vaccines coming along, which will be very good. But it won't be fast enough to dampen down this wave too. So I think we may see a bit of... I see it as opportunity, if you've got spare cash. But we may see a bit of opportunity to pick some cheap stocks, the next few weeks or so. But then I think we'll have a good rally towards the end of the year. It's completely speculation, but if you look at the figures around, most second waves now, they're starting to ramp up in America. They're not really restricted. Europe, we've all shut down pretty much, or some major cities and countries have, but America haven't. And I think, well, when will they do it? Because they'll have to do it if their hospitals are filling up, won't they?
Well, we haven't heard of, we haven't seen news on hospitals being overflowing and huge problems in America, despite their very high infection rates.
I did see one. I think two states have put on restrictions because the hospitals are filling up. And I can't remember what they were, but I'll try and Google it. But carry on, John.
So it sounds like they must have better hospital capacity than we have over here, where, well, our problem at the moment seems to be a shortage of nurses, which always seems to have been an issue in the UK, but some of that's because they make the exams really rather difficult for the people who want to go into nursing. Mm. So we're always shooting ourselves in the foot on this side of things. But yeah, there was a lot of risk off trade going into the election, because hedge funds that didn't necessarily know which way to call it. So we had a bit of a Joe Biden coming in boost to the markets. Then, of course, we had the Pfizer vaccine news, and following that, there are other very positive vaccine reports coming through of 90% and 95% efficacy rates, which is brilliant. Of course, reality sets in, and it will take a while for the vaccines to be rolled out, but at least we know we can start to protect the more vulnerable people in society within the next few months, and life will return to normal. So that's brilliant news. And yes, Biden has said he's going to try and keep everything open as long as he can, which is also important from an economic perspective. And remember, the data in China and the US is generally really very good, particularly in China, which continues to grow its economy and improve everything that it does. So from a metals perspective, we can see more demand coming through. And okay, there's going to be the odd wobble here and there, but and probably there'll be a little bit more risk off trade going into Christmas, because that's what the hedge funds do in late November and December. So there will be opportunities for people to buy in again.
Yeah, yeah. Just looking at America, Mardi Gras in New Orleans has been cancelled. There's other places like Iowa. Governor ordered all indoor gatherings to be limited to 15. South Dakota, mask wearing mandates, vote on that. Maryland and Ohio imposed 10 p.m. curfews in bars and restaurants on Tuesday. So they are starting to sort of ratchet down and restrict. And like I said, if it gets worse, of course, we all follow the American markets. But I think, if they have a dip, I mean, the rest may dip, but I always see this as a long-term opportunity anyway, you know. I mean, I'm thinking as an investor, this time next year, where will the markets be? And I genuinely think, you know, a lot of these companies that have been battered down will be a lot higher, you know, if they're still around, of course, you know.
Well, yes, I mean, there are going to be some shocks to the system. There's a Chinese company called Tanqi Lithium, which has... which is unable to pay some of its debt, which is coming due, and there's going to be other shocks to the system like that. So we're not out of the woods yet. You're right. How big those shocks are going to be, we don't quite know. But the fact is, the world hasn't fallen apart, and the businesses we're looking at look like they've still got sensible growth profiles, and that's the important thing to focus on.
Yeah, yeah. Marvellous stuff, John. Thanks for that, and we'll speak to you next week.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.